Hello again, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic.
Here on the MTG Cast Network. My name is Chewy.
Sorry, I got tickled. We were. Anyway,
if you're not in the Patreon, get on that. You just missed something great.
Oh yeah, it was pretty good.
Like, if I just missed, I mean, in 3 weeks you'll hear something great.
Like it's carrying over into the episode, and I can't stop. I'm crying.
Huh. Oh, this is a great week. I love
the
show.
So this is I changed this earlier in the week. Episode 526 of Monday Night Magic.
Here on the MTG. No, we already did that.
You're on the internet.
Yeah, we're up from the internet here to tell you things. So I'm Chewy.
No, you're not.
I totally am. I take a bite. Go ahead. I'm holding my arm out to the microphone as if you could take a bite.
I'm completely creeped out.
Oh my god. I'm here with Squee and Clues.
Yay.
Hey.
Clues is back from his underwater adventures.
I am. I didn't die. Or did I?
Don't brag about it, why don't you?
And he may or may not have... No, that's later. So... Right. Huh. So Clues is back from scuba diving.
I am.
Bill is heading to Dragon Con soon, and I have a headache. So let's get to it.
All right.
This week, Star City... not Star City Open. The Star City Invitational happened.
Yep.
Do
you like tournaments? Do you like tournaments with multiple formats? Do you like endless tournaments?
Hey,
Invitational.
Next week it gets worse.
Yeah.
Or better? Or whatever.
Depends on your format preference.
That's true. So the Invitational had, according to my handy-dandy show notes here that I'm guessing Bill did, 627 people playing. Was that you, Bill?
Yeah.
Yay! And I have hiccups all of a sudden.
That many people found their way in, were invited, if you will.
Whoa. So let's see here. The Invitational was Standard and Modern, of course.
If you've never been to one of these, it's one of those weird things where you bring two decks and you use both of them in one tournament.
But not at the same time.
Not at the same time. That would be difficult. Which would probably be entertaining in its own right, but...
I would be impressed. I'll give you...
It would be like multi-queuing in person. It'd be different. But the important thing to know before we go into any of these is that we're looking at essentially final placement. So if someone had an absolutely amazing best standard deck ever, but their modern deck sucked, they probably didn't get here. So bear that in mind as you rake your way through all these.
True. And there are links in the coverage for all of that. Like, oh, I've closed the main I've closed the main page. Hang on.
Internet over.
Yeah, there are links for 7-1 or better standard deck lists and modern. So if
that's what you want to look at for your deck list.
Yeah, so if you're more interested in the meta for this particular event, go check that out. But we're not gonna go through all of that because we have too many tournaments to go through.
And they're all there.
So who God, what have I done? I closed the wrong thing. Who won this? Well, I reopen everything.
I'm just thinking that Chewie's last words ever will be, what have I done? I think that's...
I mean, I'm pretty sure that was my first full sentence when I was a baby.
Could have been.
Here it is. Okay,
I made a huge mistake.
Liam Lonergan won.
Will Arnett's voice.
It's Will Wheaton.
No. I made a huge mistake.
Okay, so back on topic. Liam Lonergan won, playing in Modern Elves.
Hey, look, it's Elves.
Yay.
Modern Elves.
It is Modern Elves, which means...
Crap, I opened the wrong tab.
What have you done?
I went to the Modern Open. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not it.
Nope, totally not it. Wrong deck.
That's okay, it happens. Okay, so, yeah. We're going to go through the Modern first, because apparently Modern was the top 8. The only way to know that was to just know that, or to go dig through Star City's Twitch archive, because it doesn't say that anywhere.
Yeah.
Does it say it on the event info?
Possibly.
Like, prior to the event?
I tried to look and couldn't find it. The event info also had a lot of stuff about what playmats and stuff you could get, so if it was there, I missed it.
All right.
So let's see. In second place is Jadeen last name. How do you say this? Clumperins?
I'm going to pronounce them all wrong.
Okay, well, quick, give me a different pronunciation that's probably...
Fomperein.
Oh, there we go, yeah. She was playing Jund. Good old Jund.
Just Jund them out.
Without new lilies. It's just good lilies.
Jund. Three-color good stuff.
Pretty much. Brad Nelson in third is playing a Death Shadow aggro deck, which is slightly different from some other kind of... Is there like a Death Shadow Zoo deck?
Now, I feel
like I've seen this before.
I was out of the country last week.
Were you now?
And I only had sporadic touch with the internets, and I seem to recall seeing a tweet about Brad Nelson swinging for like 22 on turn 2 with this deck.
Well, let's see here. Turn 1, Death Shadow. Turn 2, a bunch of... On turn 2? How would you even do that?
It involved a bunch of Git probes and...
Street Wraiths and...
And it had to have been post-sideboard because it involved an Inquisition of Kozilek. That's all I know. I don't know how that helped, but that's what I heard.
I mean, I saw a Twitter discussion about the inclusion of Mishra's Bauble in the deck, but that's about all I've heard.
Well, see, Mishra's Bauble's good because it makes your deck essentially a 56-card deck.
Well, it's really good when you're running Monastery Swift Spear. The prowess jumps up pretty fast and you get all those cards.
There is also that, I guess. So, yeah, I mean, we've seen the deck before.
Yeah.
Maybe not with Mishra's Bauble, but whatever.
Yeah. That's the only discussion I really saw, but I haven't been as in the loop as normal.
I'm not in the loop. In also third place, according to the placement here on the...
second, third.
Deck list. Yeah, in second, third place, which is actually fourth, Michael Majors is playing Habzan. Habzan.
Collective Brutality.
With Grim Flayer. Hey! And Collective Brutality. Nice. Look at that modern getting the new stuffs.
Yeah.
In first fifth, Eric Hawkins was playing Decepticons, also known as Affinity, for reasons I will not understand for very... Well, it does have four copies of Thoughtcast.
Oh, okay. They earned it this time.
Sort of.
It's more than we normally get.
That is true. Lucas Loyson in sixth place with Jeskai Control, which is exactly what it sounds like with Nahiri and Imrakul thrown in for good measure.
This being Imrakul Prime.
Yeah, yeah, the one that you get with Nahiri in Modern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then seventh place, Tom Ross, Boss, playing Dredge.
Wait, what?
What? Boss.
He's not wrong.
Oh, yes, the good old Modern Dredge deck.
Is Haunted Dead normally there?
It was last week because I think one of us said that exact sentence.
That's probably the case. whenever I see a, you know, non-mythic of the current set and Modern, I'm like, wait, what?
Pretty much.
And then immediately forget.
Also running one Collective Brutality. Apparently this card is the real deal if you don't care about having cards in hand.
Yeah, I mean.
Yay, Dredge.
It's not the worst thing ever if you don't have cards as well, but if you do, great. Let's just dump those Dredge cards in the graveyard.
Yay! By the way, for you listeners who play Modern, especially Modern Dredge, please explain the Shriekhorn, because people have asked me, and I'm like, gets things in the graveyard for cheap in Modern? I don't know. So let me know if that's what it's there for, or if I'm missing something. I mean, that's gotta be what it's there for, because it's all it does.
I would assume. I mean, in a Dredge deck, that's effectively like drawing, isn't it?
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have to have stuff in the graveyard before you can start doing the Dredgy thing.
I mean,
it powers out Narcomoeba too, right? Because if you Shriekhorn and the thing you Shriekhorn is a Narcomoeba, it just comes out.
Well, yeah.
Which seems good. So it does everything you wanted it to do in a Dredge deck. Yeah, I'm cool.
It costs a colorless. Doesn't come in tapped, so you can just start doing it.
Yeah, and you don't have, you know, Bazaar of Baghdad and whatnot like you do in Legacy, so.
I think what we're getting at is that it does a lot of what the deck wants to do in an efficient manner. It doesn't have a specific interaction. It just does a lot of great things.
Right. And the fact that it costs exactly one mana to do it is just brilliant.
And then when you're sick of it, you feed it to a Greater Gargadon.
Nom, nom, nom. Okay, then. And then in eighth place, Miles Rodriguez is playing a Burn.
Yes.
This is the flavor that has a little bit of green and a little bit of white. for spells, but no wild Mikados or any of that. Just good old burn.
Yay.
Yay?
I like burn.
Yeah, you do.
I do. Yeah.
Look at the art on Deflecting Palm.
No, I will not do such a thing. No.
Fair enough.
Nope.
All instead, right, but that means you owe us one, that other creepy card.
Nope. Nope.
So that was what they were playing in Modern. Let's jump over to Standard. Liam Lonergan, again, who's playing Elves in Modern, is playing Bant Company.
I hear that's popular.
Yeah. Hope you like hearing about Bant Company.
What did I just call John? Oh, yeah. Three color good stuff.
Yeah. Second place. Jadeen was playing Jund. She's playing Bant Company.
Hey, y'all.
In Standard. Brad Nelson was playing Death Shadow Aggro, so he's playing Bant Humans. Remember that deck?
I do.
It's still running Collected Company, but it's got a humans thing instead of some of the other things.
Sure.
You know, because people.
People.
Who need people?
Well, Brad Nelson, apparently.
They're the luckiest people.
Imagine all the people. No? Okay.
Aaron's Grace Champion.
Yeah, the card with the dumb name that I'm really happy to see people play.
Yeah, I am too.
I mean, it's just in the sideboard, but still.
I mean, it's a good deck to be in.
In fourth place, let's see, Michael Majors was playing Abzan. What's he playing here? Teamer Emerge.
Oh, I recognize.
Is that the sound of
emerging? No, that was the sound of Chewie inhaling to sneeze.
That was the sound of me stifling an emergence.
Did you actually stifle it? Or were you able to pay one?
Let's just not talk about it.
I'm imagining you just ate a bug. But that would be different colors.
Was it a spider?
No, not in my apartment. Because if it was a spider, it'd be dead. Okay, so this is Teamer Emerge. This one... Huh. This is more... So going back to the Pro Tour, this is a cross between the two Teamer Emerge decks that were in the top eight. Because it's running the Pilgrim's Eye and the Vessel of Nascency and Grapple with the Past and Gather the Pack.
Hey, look at that last thing in his creatures.
And Ishkana, yeah. But it's also running three Emrakul and Primal Druid, and a Sidisi's Faithful, which, huh.
I haven't thought of that in a while.
Yeah, right? So that's a neat bit of tech. Cool. But, I mean, it still works basically the same way, so nothing more to see here.
I like the Dragon Master Outcast on the board. I haven't thought about that in a while.
Is that the one drop that spits out dragons after a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Cool.
I mean, if your game's going to go long, it's not a bad investment.
So let's see here. Eric Hawkins was playing Decepticons. What's he playing in Standard? What?
Ugh. Zombies. He's
playing black-blue zombies. What?
Yeah, here they are. Here's some cards we haven't talked about.
What? Okay, so let's see here. It's got three Liliana of the Last Hope because it's running black.
That's
makes sense. Yeah.
It's got Flippy Jace because it's running blue. Because
it's running blue. Sure,
yeah.
And that's about where it stops. Oh, and Collective Brutality and Ruinous Path. Boom, that's where it stops.
All right.
Everything else is just insane. Okay, so Crypt Breaker. Yes, that thing. Let's see. So for a single black, a 1/1 zombie, you
weak.
Can...
Lame.
You can pay mana and tap it and discard a card to get a zombie, and then you tap three untapped zombies you control to draw a card and lose a life. Since there are so many zombies in the deck, you don't really need to make very many, I'm guessing, but it's there if you need it.
Yeah.
It's got the Distended Mindbender, that really cool Emerge card that makes, let's say when you cast it, target opponent reveals their hand, you get a three or less and a four or greater card, and they discard them. So that one's good. That's not a zombie, though.
Does it also make Serpentor? No, that's a different Mindbender. Never mind.
Yeah, that was a Doctor Mindbender, not a Distended.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This one did not actually stick out that degree.
Cobra Law.
What about the mustache? I always liked it. Anyway.
And the monocle?
Yeah, the
he
monocle.
Had a monocle, didn't he? Yeah.
Didn't he? I think he did.
Yeah, and a cape, but no shirt. Who knows? It's just one of those things.
He was a very serious scientist. Anyway, Haunted Dead is in the deck. The Prized Amalgam, it's got some of these dredge cards.
Yeah.
And then Relentless Dead. Good to see that card getting some play, because it's ridiculous.
It is.
And then the Voldaren Voldaren Pariah.
I haven't seen that in a bit.
That we talked about a long time ago.
Is it Voldaren or Voldaren?
Yeah, hell yeah.
I always thought it was Voldaren because Olivia Voldaren.
Sure.
But, I mean, I am often wrong about these things, and I have not heard it mentioned in coverage.
And
but I assume it's Voldaren.
And well, we have to mispronounce at least one of the words, so if so we're right Voldaren, on the first
one. Pariah.
Pariah, yeah.
Oh, I was going to go with Pariah.
How do you solve a problem like Pariah?
Sacrificing three other creatures, I guess.
Huh.
Yeah, so this is that 3-3 that... The 3-3 flyer that has a madness cost of 3, you can sack 3 other creatures to turn it into a 6-5 flyer that makes, when it transforms, target opponent sacrifices 3 creatures. So it's really funny.
Yeah, that was my pre-release card.
Nice.
I had, like, 4 other black cards. Could
Does
not play it.
Does she have 3 arms?
The back has more than that.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure she has more arms than that.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I gotta go look more closely at this
card. Are you not understanding the Voldaren way?
There've got to be extra appendages.
I'm assuming that was done on purpose.
Okay, great.
Yeah, do you feel better now? Yeah, you probably don't.
Don't, actually. I feel slightly worse.
I just like how when you flip the card over and you look at the back of it, it actually looks kind of like Emrakul, but with a goat sticking out of it.
Gotta have that. This deck also runs 2 Dark Salvation.
Which is such a cool card name.
Which is, it's a cool card in general.
It also was the playmat for the event.
Oh yeah?
An event.
Nice.
Maybe it's the Richmond event. I don't know. There's a picture of it right next to it on the page. So.
Yeah.
It's very pretty.
So yeah, it's a really cool deck that's just zombies.
Got there.
Prized Amalgam keeps jumping out of the graveyard. Haunted Dead keeps jumping out of the graveyard. Cryptbreaker keeps drawing cards. Yeah, hell yeah.
Look at all those dual lands.
Huh. All right, then. Well, that's a cool deck. Maybe we'll get another one in 6th place. Let's see. Lucas Loysen's playing Jeskai Control in Modern. What's he playing in Standard? Oh, it's Band Company.
Yep.
All right.
I liked it when you pronounced it the other way.
What's that?
Band Company?
Oh.
Oh.
Yes, he was totally playing... That was from last week, Clues, when there were so many, like 6 of one of the GP's top 8 were
It just got more efficient to do that.
It did, yeah. Okay, let's see. What was Tom Ross, boss, playing? He's playing Dredge in Modern. He's playing Mono White Humans. Is this the super punch you in the face? This is the super punch you in the face version. Nice.
This is the return of the 18 planes. My curve stops at 2. Let's just throw in 1 enchantment to boost everything up if I get to 3. Always watching.
Sick.
It's got Kidian in it.
And then, let's see. Okay, maybe Miles Rodriguez can save us. He's playing Burn in Modern. He is playing the Blue-Red Thermo Alchemist deck in Standard. Nice. I like this deck. Any deck that runs 2 Lightning Axe and 4 Fiery Temper is going to get my vote.
Okay, in your book?
Yeah.
Like, look, I want to eat lunch. The deck.
And I bet he did all day. All both days. So that's the Invitational Top 8.
Yeah.
Wild, weird, wacky stuff. I mean, except not really.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there was the one new deck. Yeah, so let's go somewhere else. How about the, what's this? This is the Modern Open. Because the actual Open was Modern, right?
Yes, it was.
And let's see here. There were 764 people playing in that. That is more than the Invitational. Nice.
Man, they just let anybody play in it.
I know, right?
It's like it was open. Man.
It's terrible. What do we have here? Thomas Smiley won with Bant Eldrazi.
That doesn't sound like a good thing.
Oh, yeah, this deck. It runs the, some of the Eldrazi package. Thought Not See a Reality Smasher, Mattery Shaper, Sky Spawner, Displacer. Deep Fiend.
Displacer usually being the backbone of why you would do this.
Yeah. Deep Fiend and Drowner of Hope. Just all of that. And then Noble Hierarchs, Ancient Stirrings, One Birds.
Bop.
Oh, and Path to Exile as the only other thing to do.
I'm just imagining when they actually board in the worship, how miserable that makes life.
I bet that's hilarious.
Like, you're going up against Eldrazi. You're not planning on worship.
Although you should, because, you know, fanatical cult following and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's why I like it. Like, it's in its own weird way, it's flavorful.
Let's see, what else? Evan Whitehouse finished second with Mardu Control. What? Those words don't go together.
Good man.
Okay.
Look at
it. What is this? So it's, okay, here's Nahiri and Imrakul, right? Lily of the Veil, okay, Dark Confidant, right? And then everything else is Murder and Disruption and Lingering Souls.
And Lingering Souls.
Which should count as murder, I think.
It should. It's murder for the other person.
Yeah, so Lightning Bolt, Lightning Helix, Path to Exile, Terminate, Dreadbore, Inquisition of Kozilek, and Thoughtseize. And Lingering Souls.
I don't want you to have cards or life.
Or creatures.
Or creatures or not, anything.
Not no. Nothing.
No. I'm going to run four Nahiri and I'm going to use them.
So that's pretty cool. Damn. I think we've seen this before. Far. But, like, every time, it's rare enough to where every time I see it, I'm like, look at that. I don't know if we've seen it in exactly this configuration, but.
Well, if you feel you have to play control, it may as well be Mardu.
I mean, it doesn't have blue in it.
That, playing Dark Confidant with Imrakul, though, is just.
Yeah, look, you've got one copy. It's fine. It's probably.
I believe the term is baller.
It's probably fine.
I do believe Bill is correct. I think that's the term you're looking for. And I mean, sometimes you just take 15. You know, whatever.
I mean, it's not going to happen too often, right?
Let's hope not.
You're fine.
I mean, basically everything else in the deck is take one, take two. Oh, Nahiri, take four. That's it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, and Lingering Souls and Lily take three. All right, fine. This is really cool. Lightning Helix gets you a little bit of that life back. Does it have... Ah, there's Shambling Vent. Okay, I was going to say, tell me it's got Shambling Vent. It does.
I'm just imagining the critical game where you're about to lose to this deck, like in two turns, and you just don't kill the Dark Confidant and hope that it does the job for you.
Well, that's cool. What else do we have here? Ross Merriam in third playing Dredge. This one's running Rally the Peasants. That's pretty funny. With Narcomoebas and Prized Amalgams.
Yeah.
What else? Fourth place, Ali Antrazi is playing Bant Eldrazi. Also, again, as well.
Seems to be a thing.
Mike Sigrist is in fifth playing Affinity.
Good old Affinity. Good old Scepticon.
Yeah, and see, it's not even Affinity, because there's not any cards with Affinity.
No, it's Affinity.
So it's Affinity.
That's like a drink you get at Starbucks.
It's sort of. Well, it's like a drink you get at Starbucks as ordered by an Irish person. Like a very Irish person.
Yeah, I don't think I can not be offensive in making that. Voice, so we're just
yeah, so we're just not gonna. Yeah,
you just imagine it in your heads, not racist.
Sixth place, Benjamin.
Not the way you're imagining it.
Benjamin Nikolic is playing Blue Moon. Hey, remember that card?
The card Blue Moon? No.
That deck? Shut up. You meant what I knew.
Oh, man.
He's running two copies of the Docent of Perfection, which makes me so happy.
Doesn't make me happy.
Card's really annoying to play against.
Yeah, this is the final two evolutions of the Delver of Secrets. The Docent of Perfection, and then
finale of the Delver trilogy.
Flips into the final iteration. Oh, I love it. I don't know if the card itself is any good, but I love the flavor.
If it sticks, it's miserable, as you would guess. Because look at all these instants.
True. Yeah. Seems good. All right, seventh place. Oh Lord, Anand Kar, AK is playing a green white hexproof deck. Yay, Bogles!
Huh?
Yeah.
What are we hunting at?
I just hadn't seen green white hexproof in a little while.
It has been a while since I spotted some Bogles at the top.
Yeah.
Got that slippery Bogle. All right. Enough of that. Michael Siegel in 8th place, also playing Bant Eldrazi. And that was your top 8. Let's see here. There's a black-white Eldrazi deck, blue-white Flash deck, Infect. And more Kiki Evolution. What is Naya Breach? I'm guessing it has Through the Breach.
I would assume.
It does. Oh, and Summoner's Pact. Oh, we've seen this deck.
Yeah.
Okay. They just have names for it now.
Kiki Evolution now. That's neat.
I mean, I assume it's the new card.
Yeah, Eldritch Evolution.
Yeah. I think we've spotted, have we seen this in Modern? I think we have.
I think we have. It's just neat.
It is pretty cool.
Like, the ongoing adventures of the Podless Pod archetype.
Oh, yeah, we have seen it because we talked about it is the Eldritch Evolution of the Podless Pod deck.
Yeah.
Nice. All right, then. Well, that was the Modern Open.
Yay.
How about we'll do the Standard Classic? There were 234 people playing in the Standard Classic.
Oh, you're going to like this top eight.
Oh, wow. So Jared Toe, or Jared Tao, I don't know, was playing Black-Green Delirium and took it down.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Grimflayer. Get in there. Thank you. Abraham Stein in second, playing... I mean, Bant Company.
You think that's funny now, Clues? Just you wait.
Third place, Jeffrey Barznica. That's a cool last name. Playing... fourth place, Lyric Kulik. That's an even cooler name. Holy crap, dude. In fourth place, playing... fifth, Thomas Pendergast, playing... sixth, Patrick Tilson, playing... seventh, Jim Davis, playing... Sultai Delirium. Sultai Delirium.
Combo Breaker.
Look at this deck.
It's actually neat.
So it's... it's a weird mashup.
Yeah, it's a bunch of the cards we were just looking at, but...
yeah, it's like the blue-black zombies deck, but you take out the zombie sub-theme and put in the Delirium cards. With some Emerge thrown in for good measure, Elder Deep Fiend. So,
yep.
Okay, let me see here. So we've got Prized Amalgam and Haunted Dead. There's your zombies. Oh, and Flippy Jace. Gotta have that. And then the rest is Vessel of Nascency, Grapple, Kozilek's Return, Gather the Pack, Traverse the Olvenwald, the Mindbender, the Deep Fiend, Noose Constrictor, that's pretty funny, and Ishkana. Huh. So is Standard, I'm sure it has been for a while, but I'm noticing it more at the moment. It's becoming modular. Like, you take this...
You're starting to see the shells emerge.
Yeah, like, you take the core of this deck, and then you mix in some of the fancy bits from this deck, and they fit together like a Rubik's Magic or something.
Yeah.
Yes, just like a Rubik's Magic.
Yeah.
I like the mountain in the sideboard, too.
Yeah, right? Like, what's...
sometimes you gotta play Kozilek's Return. Like, the hard way.
There is no way to actually cast it, is there? Huh, okay. And that's gotta be the only reason, because there's no other red anywhere.
As far as I could see, I didn't see any other red, yeah.
Interesting. Alright then. Where was that? That was Jim Davis in 7th. And in 8th place, Connor Bryant is playing Temur Emerge.
Temurge.
That deck again. Let's see. Anything else? There's a Sultai Emerge. Another colorless Eldrazi. What?
That sounds redundant.
Oh, wow. No, it's like actually colorless.
Yep.
Is he not even... he's not even playing Kozilek's Return.
No, wow. Like, I think Clues actually likes the registration of this deck.
Does he?
I mean, look at that sideboard.
4-4-2-4-1?
Yeah. That's almost a perfect sideboard in Clues' world.
Clues, would a perfect sideboard in your world be no sideboard?
15 mountains?
I guess, but then you have to count 15. Couldn't you just go no sideboard? Cool.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, look, and then in, let's see, 10th, 10th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and a black-white control, 16th. All right. Yeah. Hooray, Bant. How about the Legacy Open?
I don't think we're going to see a lot of, I don't think we're going to see a lot of that, quite frankly.
Seem likely.
We had, 266?
More
this?
People playing in the Legacy Classic than in the Standard.
You know why?
Because there's so much...
because it's the king of all formats. That's...
or is it the monarch of all formats?
it could very well seize the crown of the formats.
Considering the other two aren't allowed to play with the cards that have the monarch. Probably true. Yeah.
That's right. And in first place, we had Brandon Osborne playing Storm. Looks like the ant variety of Storm here, I think. In second place, we had Jeremiah Wolfgang playing the manaless version of Dredge.
Doesn't that mean that there was a sideboarding fail for everyone else?
Who needs mana at all? And
like seriously, yeah. Like the when manaless Dredge shows up at the top, you just know that people forgot to sideboard properly.
They sideboarded for other decks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when the Charbelcher deck makes the top eight, you're like, whoops.
Well, no, that's just statistics right there. Okay. If you flip a coin enough times, it'll come up, you know.
If you have enough thumbs, you can do it.
Yeah, it'll just happen. In third place, we had Matthew Dilks running lands. Cause, see, we had no lands in the previous deck, so to balance that, to average out to a deck with the correct number of lands, we had to have someone playing lands.
Wait, does that work? There are 35 lands here and none here. Close, yeah, that's
yeah,
pretty close
to it for Legacy. Yeah, it sure does. In fourth place, we had Chris Bessie, let's say. Bessay. I'm going to go with Bessay. Chris, is that right?
Chris Bess.
Chris doesn't listen to this show. Colorless Eldrazi.
Hey, Chris, do you listen to this show? Dude, look, there's new cards in the Manless Dredge deck.
There are?
Mainly the Prized Amalgam.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
But there's also four copies of Phantasmagorian. Is that normal?
I've certainly seen it in this deck before, yes.
A full four? Wow, that's brave. Anyway, sorry, I just saw that and was like, wait, what?
Sure. Okay, great. Where were we? Oh, yeah, Colorless Eldrazi is where we were.
Yay, the Eldrazi Scourge or Menace or whatever.
I think Menace, yes, like the Wall Crawler. It's a menace. Or is it a threat? I don't know.
It depends on who's writing that one.
Yes. In fifth place, we had Ryder Aguilera, let's say.
Ryder Aguilera, yeah, that guy.
Running Rug Delver.
Yay.
Because if you got to run Delver, it may as well be Rug.
Because then you can lightning bolt things.
That's right. And that's what you want to do. So you should have run Burn. No. In sixth place, Philip Kwan is running Colorless Eldrazi. More, again. Still?
A criminal.
What?
Well, crook didn't sound right coming from Jameson.
Oh, yes, okay. So
doesn't either.
We're still back on the menace or threat. Okay, I'm with you now. In seventh place, David Gross is running Travesty. I mean, Miracles. Still not happy
Travesty
about.
Should be a deck.
Still not happy about the top, okay? I mean, sure. Look, I stop with the tweets. I get it. Miracles is not dominating lots of things right now. That doesn't mean that Sensei's Divining Top is a card that is healthy for any format ever, particularly not Commander. Stop doing that. What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
This game's been long enough.
Exactly. Exactly. I shouldn't have the time to file my taxes while you take your turn.
Look, the actual filing doesn't take long.
Yeah.
True.
And in eighth place, Zachary Clements is running Colorless Eldrazi. Yeah, I'm going to go with Menace.
Yeah.
It's got to be, right? Menace?
Well, I completely misread the 10th place deck.
Outside of the top eight, we've got some Burn in ninth. Thank you, Nick. Nice job. Way to represent. Omni Sneak, because they're just dicking me with me on these names now.
I glanced at it and I saw Omni Steak and I was like, ooh, what's that? Oh, hey, never mind.
I love the all steak.
It's Omni Sneak. Thought it was steak. I was all disappointed.
Some more Colorless Eldrazi. 12th place, we had Elves. Eh, like Elves. Elves are good. Some Grixis Delver. More Storm.
Sounds like you're getting into a theater illegally.
More lands. Death and Taxes. And that's your top 16.
Yay.
Hooray.
The monarch of all formats.
The monarch of at least one of the many formats.
Except
still
prismatic.
Better extended.
That's accurate.
So
extended would be weird at this point.
Well, extended would have rotated, I think, a couple times by now. So it would be.
Oh, definitely. But like.
It would be super weird.
It'd be really strange, especially if they kept the old rules, and so you had some sets that were older than their corresponding core sets. That'd be weird.
But let's not talk about it. So,
no, weird.
There were no GPs this week, presumably because of the regional PTQs, maybe? Or just because there was a hole in the schedule, because there are lots of those now?
I mean, it could be a case where, because they're syncing up all of their GPs of the same formatting, that you just will inevitably have holes in the schedule.
Yep.
So it might as well be when the regional PTQs are.
But don't worry if you really like GPs, because next week there are three and they're modern. So yay, modern. But the other things that are going on, there's really just thing, is Conspiracy Take the Crown is coming out. Give me that crown.
That's Give me that Burger King hat.
Yeah. So because the full set has released and the full set has been shown, damn it, it hasn't released yet. And it comes out this Friday. The release notes, formerly the FAQ, but since no one was actually A-ing any Qs, they were not F at all. I like the way I didn't screw that up. I'm proud of me.
I'm proud of you as well.
I'm proud of you too.
So if you want to know how all the rules work and all of that and look at...
Become a judge!
Well, also that. And if you want to look at any card-specific nonsense, then the release notes, is where you should go.
Yeah, this is the thing that we kind of wish we'd had a week ago when we were trying to figure out if the crown would stick around. But now we know exactly how the monarch works.
Do we? Yeah.
It's included here, yeah.
Is it any clearer than before? Because I thought we already...
Yeah, it directly says that the conspiracy type cards are the only things that are not allowed in other formats.
Right. If you want to know about that, go listen to last week's episode where we went in deep on the Monarch. Clues, are you familiar with the whole Monarch thing?
A little bit.
Excellent. Would you like to be the king? Is it good to be the king?
I believe, based on the seminal work of, I believe, a very famous player named Brooks, it is, in fact, good to be the king.
Yes.
Till next turn when you get hit.
Also, yes. Or until his son writes books about zombies.
Yeah, that's different.
Anyway. So, yeah. Okay, so the release notes are there. The link is in the show notes for you guys to go peruse, because there's a lot. There's always a lot.
Yep. Especially and, in a weird draft set.
And an important thing that I believe is, it, I don't know if it's in the FAQ. It might be. But if you are playing cards in a format that allows them, like, say, Legacy, you can, in fact, become the Monarch and stay that way.
Yes, which we learned live last week on the show.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Because Tayback himself in a Reddit thread. Stated that that was, in fact, correct.
Yep.
Also, so, if you're going to Conspiracy Draft this coming weekend when the set comes out, bring some paper and a pen.
Yes.
You actually need it.
Like, for real need it. Not just would be nice to have.
Like, you need to bring something. Because yes. Cards require you to identify things unique to them that you can't share with other people. So, paper and pen.
Hmm. Sorry, I just saw Garbage Fire for the first time. I was like, oh,
isn't
look.
That beautiful?
Oh, you're
like, oh, look, it's a,
at election coverage.
Oh, I was thinking that it was like the last GP Charlotte.
I don't know.
Oh, wait, no, that was dumpster
Charlotte actually
fire.
Ended okay.
Anyway. So what else? What else? What else? What else? Well, the full set has been revealed, so.
Hey, Clues, goblins.
Yeah. Hey, there are some nice goblins here.
Yeah. I suppose there's something we should talk about here. That isn't Garbage Fire.
Goblins. Or the reason why people are going to buy a lot of this set. But mostly goblins.
Yeah, mostly goblins, I think.
So if you go to the card image gallery, dear listener, you might notice that they're ordered in a really bizarre way. And it took me a few minutes to actually realize all of the new cards are shown first, alphabetically, in each color. And then we get all the reprints. And there are a lot of reprints. Like a lot. Like, damn.
Makes sense, though.
And there are a few that are specifically in here to sell the set. Like,
yeah, there's no other way to say it.
Like, the big one is clearly Show and Tell.
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps.
Which I didn't actually know was in the set until Bill mentioned it earlier today in a conversation we were having. I was like, wait, what? That's a big one. Especially since it wasn't in Eternal Masters.
Probably why.
Could be why, yeah.
Don't ask me why.
Hey, Clues.
Yeah.
What's up?
What?
So what else is here as far as reprints that people care about?
Burning Wish?
Burning Wish is a big one.
Platinum Angel's popular, although it's been printed a few times.
Quite a few times, has it not?
I don't know about quite a few.
All the times.
Phyrexian Arena has new Koth art. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Burning... Oh, wait, we talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that one. Are you also just looking back and forth between the red cards and the white cards, or is that just me?
No, that's just you. I'm actually in green at the moment. Ooh, Berserk. That was the other one.
Oh, yeah, Berserk. Yeah, that Berserk is actually has been a very important reprint, yeah.
Birds of Paradise.
Is Exotic Orchard still good, or was it just the first time around?
I have no idea.
I remember it being amazing, but it was also a time when mana was perfect, so...
Yeah, someone on Twitter mentioned to me that Berserk got reprinted so more people could play Infect in Legacy.
Nice.
And they asked me how I felt about that. And frankly, I would rather that you play Infect in Legacy than Miracles, because at least then we can eat lunch.
True.
Lunch is important to us.
Lunch is important to us. You know, it's one of those meals. They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, but no, you can just sleep through that. Lunch is the most important meal.
And I do on occasion. If I sleep through lunch, there's a problem.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm not seeing anything else that jumps out at me as, oh my god, big. Well, Inquisition. I guess that's pretty big. Inquisition of Kozilek.
I'm seeing a lot of cards that I remember from when I first started playing. Like, Wild Pear is in here. That's cool.
Yeah.
One of the first decks I made had Juniper Order Ranger in it, and that was pretty awesome. But yeah, like, it's... not going to be the reason people go out and buy the set.
Clues.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. My voice cracked there because I'm very excited about this. I would like you to go to white.
Okay. Yeah, I'm there.
Go to the new cards.
Yeah, so at the beginning of white, yes.
Okay, so we've got one, two, the third row down.
One, two, three, yes.
Read the middle two cards and tell me what you think of them.
So Recruiter of the Guard?
Yep.
The first one you want me to read here. Okay, so two and a white for a 1/1 seems expensive. For a 1/1, it's a human soldier. When it enters the battlefield, may search your library for a creature card with toughness 2 or less. Reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle your library. This card seems very good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it has Recruiter in the name, so...
There is that.
Yeah, I like that card. That's a good one. Okay. And a Sanctum Prelate? Prelate? Sanctum Prelate.
Post early.
Yes, post early, post often. One white white, so 3 mana for a 2/2 human cleric. As it enters the battlefield, choose a number. Non-creature spells with converted mana cost equal to the chosen number can't be cast. I like this card very much, yes.
Yeah, I bet you do.
That's very interesting.
Nice.
Very interesting indeed. Huh, that's...
Those Look at were... that mythic staple.
Yeah, those were two of the ones that we spotted during recording the Mana Pool and went, I wonder if these will see some Legacy play.
that's a hate bear.
Yep.
It's a 2/2. It's the bear part checks out.
A hate ogre?
Yeah, that's... Huh.
The hate ogre.
Huh. And that's an enters the battlefield trigger. You don't even have to cast them to...
Yep.
Huh.
Exactly. Yeah. You're welcome.
I love that it's tied to toughness number and not cost.
For the recruiter?
For the recruiter. Yes.
That is pretty neat.
Man, I love things that come in with counters. How about you guys?
I mean, they're okay.
As a reminder, how big is Tarmogoyf in your library?
It's according to Mike on the TMP episode, it's a characteristic defining ability.
It is.
So it's always so, big.
It's always
so it's
big.
Already big.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to recheck.
Because that's what I said. I was like, dude, so you can go get a Goyf? No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends.
Well, if it's early enough in the game, you can.
If you turn 3 and your Goyf is that size, then you've screwed up.
There is that.
Failure.
So, hey, there's a new Grenzo, too. I haven't seen him.
Yeah, we got some
I really like the new Grenzo.
Okay, let's see here. Red for a 2/2 legendary goblin rogue. Whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, choose one. All right. Goad target creature that player controls. Okay. That doesn't do so much in Legacy, but okay.
No, not as such.
Yeah. Exile the top card of that player's library until end of turn. You may cast that card, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast it. And that's whenever any creature you control deals combat damage to a player.
Yeah, I like this guy a lot.
Okay, wait. So if you hit with two creatures, you're still only seeing one card, though, right?
No. That should trigger twice.
Oh, because it exiles it. It doesn't just reveal it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Hmm. And that works with non-combat damage as long as the creature... No, it does say combat damage.
It does say combat.
Ah, oh, man, I had schemes and machinations.
So, double strike? Yeah.
Look, the lackey already does enough.
But now it can do more.
That is true. I also really like how all of the cards that do weird things during the draft or before the game have a different border.
Yes.
That's a nice little visual reminder. Yeah.
I'll just attack with these dudes. No blocks. Okay, I will vile in Grenzo.
GG.
Aether Vial gets around the stipulation from the card we just talked about, right? Because you're not casting.
Which one? The
Sanctum Relay.
The post early.
Yeah, the Sanctum post early.
Can't be cast. Yeah, you're not casting those. So.
Yeah.
So it's not like you just pick the same number they do, so to speak.
Well, I mean, it also says non-creature spells, so.
Yeah, that is also much more relevant.
Yeah.
Aha.
So,
zero.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, hint, it's one. One is what you choose.
What if you've already got one that says one?
Then you choose two.
Okay. You're talking about Legacy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what you think of Duretti there, Clues, since he's a Goblin Planeswalker again?
Always a big fan of Duretti.
You like his early work?
I like his early work. You know, this new work seems pretty good too. Did you guys talk about him last week or was he now?
No, this is now.
Yeah, he was out there
this week.
Duretti, Igneous Iconoclast, one a black and
I'm
red.
I'm sorry, what?
Igneous Iconoclast?
Keep reading it.
Oh, nope. Ingenious.
Igneous is a lot cooler for a black red card.
It is.
I was thinking, I hit the mana cost, I'm like, oh, Igneous. Okay, sure. Nope, he's Ingenious. Well, then he's an Iconoclast. Yeah, Iconoclast.
Iconoclast.
He is a planeswalker. He's got three loyalty when he comes in. Plus one.
Planeswalker.
One colorless construct artifact creature token with defender onto the battlefield.
Nothing says defender like black red.
That's correct. That's correct. Minus one. You may sacrifice an artifact.
Yay.
I was going to say, you guys have got to say something or truncate silence won't do this. If you do, destroy target artifact or creature. Okay, so you plus one him, you make a thing. If nothing kills it, you sack it and blow something of theirs up.
Sure.
Gotcha. Minus
six. You end up back at square one because you plus one and minus one.
That's right. Minus six. Choose target artifact card in a graveyard or artifact on the battlefield. Put three tokens that are copies of it onto the battlefield. Yeah,
seems
I can get
perfectly
mine.
Fair.
Yeah, it'll be fine. There is
I don't
no
always mind slaver, but when I do, I play the rest of the game.
There's no way that could be abused.
Like at all?
There are lots of ways that could be abused.
Oh, right.
Hmm.
So do you need a sack outlet for those artifacts? You can just jump to the chase.
Hmm.
I'm just imagining the first time someone does this with like a worm coil engine and then they lose a friend.
I was, you know, shooting for the moon. Let's do it with a Black Lotus.
Yeah, get right on that, Clues.
Yep. That's what I'm, somebody in Vintage, get on this.
Turn one Black Lotus for Duretti.
Somehow
one defender.
Season in play.
Your turn one doubling season.
Yeah. Nice.
Get there.
I have pregame boxing. Actions. I cheaty face this doubling season onto the battlefield.
Oh, I forgot how happy the Carnage Gladiator was. He's so happy.
He really is happy.
He's like the happiest skeleton warrior ever.
I was actually just looking at the art on Storm Chaser Chimera. Is that new? No, that's the same. That's the same art.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
I do not.
I love that card. That card is devastating and limited if the game remotely goes long. It was so great and sealed.
Nice.
You can just watch your opponent realize that if nothing changes, you will beat them because all of your cards will be better than all of their cards for the rest of the game.
Like all of them?
And you have a 2-3 flyer.
You have a 2-3 flyer that will slowly pump its way to kill them, and also you're scrying repeatedly forever. Like, end of turn, scry, scry again. Okay, now it's my turn? Great. And that's the worst case scenario. It's wonderful.
Wow, roll down to the conspiracies real quick and look at Hymn of the Wilds.
All right, Hymn of the Wilds, conspiracy mythic. Start it face up in the command zone, because it's a conspiracy. The first creature spell you cast each turn cost one less to cast. Now, that seems pretty good. You can't cast instant sorcery spells.
Who needs those? Who needs those?
That's a really cool thing if you first pick it.
Yeah. That kind of feels like one of those things that should have been a plane chase card.
Yeah. Nifty. So yeah, there are, as always, plenty of shows to talk about more cards.
Mm-hmm.
But I figured we had to hit those few specifically.
Actually, I want to know Clues' opinion of Sovereign's Realm. We talked about it a little
bit. Yeah, I was actually just reading this, because this is the first time I've seen the conspiracy.
This is one of the most interesting cards in the set.
Okay, so Sovereign's Realm Conspiracy, start the game with this face up in the command zone. Your deck can't have basic land cards, and your starting hand size is 5. Exile a card from your hand. This turn, you may play basic land cards from outside the game. Basic lands you control have tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool.
You feel like playing a different game, Clues?
Yeah, Brian pointed out on the mana pool, it turns it into a game of,
It turns it into Versus, but...
Not quite, but it's Duel Masters, or whatever the new name for freaking Duel Masters is.
Kaijudo?
Kaijudo!
Yeah.
It turns it into a game of Kaijudo.
Yes.
Which is really weird.
And yet it's still compatible with the rules, because if you've got an effect that lets you play more than one land card a turn, you could do this more than once. There's no tapping involved. It's just as long as you've got cards in your hand, you can do this. Huh. Okay, now I have to. So in limited, outside the game is your quote unquote sideboard, which is all the cards that you're not currently playing, and you're considered to have an infinite number of basic lands that you have available for sideboarding.
Yes.
Please don't go get infinite lands from the judge. They will hate you.
And the universe will not allow it.
Yeah, it will not. This is
weird. Oh my
god.
It is Kaijudo.
Yeah.
Because the starting hand in Kaijudo is 5.
Yeah.
Well, how about that? In Kaijudo, for those that don't know, every card in your deck is either a card or it's a mana source, essentially. And you can play it upside down.
Yeah, basically you play it face down to let it pretend it's a land.
Is it face down? I thought you've turned it upside down and on the bottom of the card, the bottom of the front of the card is some sort of information about what color and kind of mana it produces.
That may be right. Or maybe you play it
Who's
sideways.
Thinking of Versus where you play them face down.
Hell, I don't know. I don't understand you.
There are many card games.
Pokemon's things that you do, so.
Energy cards.
All right, hey, I kind of find Sovereign's Realm interesting.
As a note, just unless I'm wrong here, Clues, but because your, you know, starting hand size is 5, you are mulliganing down from 5.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm at less than 7, I automatically get to scry. No, 5 is the number.
Yeah, 5 is the number, and there's probably no reason to mulligan, right? Because...
Presumably, you're built your deck with the understanding that you can make any colors you need to, but you have less cards. So if you're mulliganing, you have done something weird.
Yeah. So you have to treat like the filler crap in your deck as lands.
And because you're drafting, looking... you're using all of your cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, you pretty much are.
Because this is one of your 42 cards. So your other 41, I hope you didn't get too many conspiracies and can't play.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're screwed.
But so funny. Weird. But yeah, so that's that.
Also, Marchesa is creeping me out on that card.
It's because she stares into your soul.
Yeah, she does.
Neat.
Yeah.
Her eyes are mythic.
That they are, actually, yeah. So, yeah. Neverending spoiler season.
Rolls on.
Yeah. We've been making this joke for a while. Like, for, I think, multiple years now.
Yeah, I think we've actually hit the limit of it. Because, we've been in not just Neverending spoiler season, but, like, new product comes out every month with lead-up spoilers for the last several months. And is only going to continue into Kaladesh.
And Commander.
And Commander.
Yeah. But Bill threw a cardboard crack about, from earlier this week, or actually late last week, about Neverending spoiler season, so.
Yeah.
You should totally check that out. It's pretty funny.
I mean, the be all and end all on it for me is just that when I get new cards so often, like we have been lately, I just don't even read them anymore. Like, I wouldn't be looking at these card image galleries if we weren't doing it right now, because it's just too much. I used to really look forward to spoiler seasons because it was neat and it only happened 3 times a year. And now that it's happening all the time and it's like, oh, look, a density of cards I'll never play with because I just am not buying this much. It gets kind of numbing.
When Christmas is every day, you can't afford to give gifts.
Did you get that out of the cookie?
I don't know. That metaphor kind of started to fall apart there toward the end, but I just wrote it the whole way.
Imagine you cracked open a gingerbread cookie and found that.
Not his gumdrop buttons.
It was an Oreo thin.
There's your problem.
Which, by the way, are awesome. I know long ago we said this was the craziest idea ever, but I think they're really good.
No, I'm sure they're great. I enjoyed trolling my friends in Europe by saying they were diet Oreos. That was a great way to make them stop and call you a fat American.
Nice. Okay, so moving on. There's a bit more here. recently, as in yesterday, Mark Rosewater answered this question again on his Tumblr. I'm guessing that this Mechanic E thing came from a Tumblr post or something that Rosewater wrote. But the question is, what are the chances of Mechanic E standing for engineer and in assembles contraptions? And Rosewater spelled out again in extremely clear language. There are no contraptions. There's just nothing that assembles. None of that in Kaladesh. Which, for those of you who, for some reason, thought there were, you're dumb.
I think a lot of people who jacked up the price on Steamflogger Boss really want there to be contraptions at this point.
Yeah, there's another link in the show notes that I urge you all to go look at. And it is the price history. MTG Stocks pulls from TCG Player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The price history for Steamflogger Boss. And on Monday, May 16th, the card was worth 75 cents. On Tuesday, May 17th, the card was worth $6.29.
Can you see where Kaladesh was spoiled?
Yeah, when they announced Kaladesh, somebody got it into their skull to buy up all the Steamflogger bosses because they're gonna do riggers and contraptions and stuff.
Obviously.
And it still hasn't recovered. The stupid thing is still showing at an average of $3.40. It is a worthless card and will be.
Hey, it's a 3/3 for 4 that
gives your changeling
other copies of it.
Oh, and the Moriok rigger is actually a rigger.
Oh, that's true. And changelings.
And yeah, them.
It was fun to put in changeling decks just because it's funny. But yeah, the present price on that through a steady decline is down to half of what its peak price was, or a little over half. It's still a lot higher than what it should be, but it's only going to go down.
Like almost 5 times what it should be. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
And so if you were one of the people that jumped in, you're probably just going to continue to watch it go down in value.
I think I have a foil copy of this that I had in my Goblins Commander deck for a while.
Nice.
He didn't buff anybody else. He was the only rigger in the whole deck. It's just I had a foil one, so why not?
You should
Commander works.
You should have sold it on Tuesday, May 17th.
Yeah.
Let's see, the foils we're going for on that day. No, turn off average. I don't care about average. Wow, the foils actually jumped later. What the hell? On there Wednesday,
less people updating the price for it.
On Wednesday, June 8th, it's at $102.99. What?
It's what?
And then there was a span later in June and into July where the average price was at $100.
Because it's only ridiculous. It's only $6 over on Star City. I mean, they're currently out of stock, but it's only $6 there.
Right now, it's sitting at like 45 on MTG stocks, which is again stupid.
That's crazy and dumb.
Maybe you should unload that on some poor sucker clues, like someone on TCG Player.
Who doesn't read Tumblr.
Not like poor sucker like an individual, a poor sucker like a shop who should know better.
Yes. Yes, they should.
Suffice it to say, stop being silly. Stop it.
Yeah, this is what rampant speculation gets you. It's one thing to speculate, but come on, man.
And when you're at the point where Mark Rosewater is going through like 8 iterations, including one with a typo that people are running with, of no, it's not there. It's not happening. Stop it. It's not a trick. We're not doing that. Not right now.
Kakadesh?
Yeah.
Nice.
And just for context, I was curious as to where this Mechanic E thing came from, and so I did some searching on it. And apparently when they were doing, Scars of Mirrodin block or something, like one of the recent sets, there was a mechanic that they started on late in the set process that they decided they wanted to just put on the shelf until they could explore it in greater detail. Because they didn't want to introduce it in the third set, New Phyrexia, and then not be able to do anything with it because of the setting and everything else. So they just sat it aside, and Mark Rosewater has been mentioning that one of the things that he's been wanting to get in the game for like 5 years is going to be coming out this fall. So people are connecting those dots, but I don't think it's ever stated.
Gotcha.
So who knows? We'll find out in a month or two when we get more spoilers. Endless previews.
Yay. All right. Is there anything else? I have a headache.
Wizards has 6 people whose secondary job is to make sure they don't screw up the color pie.
At least secondary. Could be tertiary.
Yeah, like one of them is an intern. That's actually it.
Who's an intern?
The person who is handling colorless.
No, he's not an intern anymore.
Oh, good. Okay, well, then I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Who was that? Just so I feel less like a jerk.
Jules Robbins.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is... I'm not sure why this was an announcement or why we're even talking about it, but whatever. There are people whose... One of their functions is now to make sure that we're not screwing up colors.
Yeah. It seemed like this would be something that design development already did, but... Now they're assigning people to it.
And like these are not just, you know, randos. Like we got Ken Nagel, Ethan Fleischer, Sean Main, Gavin Verhey, and Jackie Lee, and Jules Robbins. So,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where they're trying to make it clear that they want color balance, but most of this is actually about violations of the color pie, not necessarily actual, like, game balance.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, clearly since, you know, green, white.
Yeah. Mind you, this has only like been going on for the last year, so there's also that, but now you know. Sometimes the Wizards website gives us articles on things and we're like, why? But then we remember they have to make things every day. So here you have it.
Yeah, Rosewater's been writing an article a week for like the last 8,000 years, so sometimes you have to scrape the bottom of the barrel and
I mean, it's nice like to this. Know they care, but I think we already assume they care, so it's like, here we go.
Yes, the Council of Color. whatever.
Ironically, they all wear gray robes when they meet.
Which, yeah, it seems sort of... You think they'd go do the Saruman of Many Colors thing, but nope, gray.
Except for the one guy who shows up in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat wardrobe.
That is the one responsible for Wooburg.
Yeah, making sure all of the 5 color cards are balanced.
Yeah. We're not going to make that mistake of printing an 8-8 for 5 again. That was silly. Fusion elemental, I say.
Anyway, how about some Magic Online news so we can go home?
Sure. This is fairly quick and straightforward. Obligatory disclaimer, Magic Online news goes up on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and sometimes Thursdays. Today is Monday, hence the show title, so most of the stuff is old. If you really want to keep up, you should go to the Wizards website and then go to Game Info, Products, Magic Online, and then click whatever's currently there. So I've got a link in here for the Magic Online Eldritch Moon Championship, which at present when we're recording this, they're making their way through the limited qualifiers. Coming this Wednesday, they will be shifting over to the standard qualifiers before they shift back to the limited finals and the standard finals in the weeks to come. So if you really want in on that, click on the link, learn a little bit more about the events and how to get in on that. If you're in limited, hurry up because you're running out of time. So that said, the Magic Online weekly updates, most of the stuff is already irrelevant. See what I just said a moment ago? Look at that. The Year of Modern Flashbacks did return as prophesied before. So they're presently rocking their way through Triple Zendikar, also known as, wow, that's fast, like, holy crap, I died on turn 4. And that is what is happening in Magic Online. This coming Wednesday, they're shifting over to Zendikar Worldwake, which means that this is your chance to pick up some cards that kind of mattered for Standard until they were banned.
They were all right.
They were okay. Like, Stoneforge Mystic, I remember getting to table at one point because it didn't do anything in the set. I mean, it was neat to go get a Basilisk's Call or something, but okay. Turned out the card was really good. Also there's some Jace, like one of them, whatever. I mean, it's not worth as much as the current Jace, so, you know, it can only be so great. And by current, I mean the flippy one.
But, he's like Jace the Brain something? I don't know.
Jace the Brain Maggot. Yeah. Something like that. I don't know. He's got like 4 abilities, like overcompensating. Like Wizards cut his card up and scattered it all over the world, but people put it back together, so they found it. That was a weird promo. And yeah, so those are in the set. Also, this is the return to the whopping 2 mythics that are gold colored because nothing else in the Zendikar block is gold color. So neat. Get in on that. Enjoy the speed. Enjoy the continuing adventures of fetch lands and landfall and all that. So,
yeah, awesome. Because you don't get Zen World Wake another thing next week. You get triple
You go triple Eldrazi, where everything slows down.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about how to play that in a week. So, enjoy the speed while you can, and then enjoy the slow when it gets here.
Yay.
Yeah. That's really about it, because like all of the normal Magic Online updates were for events that are already done, or they're about the championship that I just talked about. So, we're kind of in that spot where a set has come out. They're not going to be putting Conspiracy online, so they don't have anything to talk about in the Conspiracy world. So, yeah.
Other than, you know, blaming Worth.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's actually tattooed on your head when you start working in R&D now. That sticks with you for life. I think that's it.
All right, then. So, should we wrap it up, then?
Yes.
I guess
yes.
So. Oh, why? So you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinTheBob. There's no Iron Goblin. Let's say this week there's no Iron Goblin because I went scuba diving with Clues and Clues left it.
I would do no such thing. Actually, I might.
I mean, look, if it's you or the eye, I understand why you picked yourself.
Yeah.
And I know full well Lady Clues would pick you over the eye.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like that's a fair assessment. So that the poor eye is drowned. It'll be back next week and then lost again. Very sad. But yeah, you follow me on Twitter and I will tweet things from time to time. Earlier today, I used Twitter to remind the world that with the upcoming Tokyo 2020 Olympics, we were following the prophecy that was set out in the 1980s movie Akira, in which the 2020 Olympics will be the end of all humanity. So, forward to it. I do appreciate the fact that Akira is set in 2019, and it is, in fact, set in the lead up to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. So, awesome.
That's a little weird.
Only in that case, it's Neo Tokyo.
Tetsuo! Okay.
Kind of. Yeah. That is the Marco Polo of anime.
I was going to say, we're going to have to stop or this episode will never end.
Yeah. Oddly enough, I have never seen Akira, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what else you haven't seen?
The, I finally started the second season of Daredevil.
I was more referring to, I believe it's entitled The Last Dragon. I
saw Yeah, I still haven't
seen DVD that. A long time ago, and you still haven't watched it. And
I will, though.
He did start on Legend of Korra, though. That I know.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That is actually a mistake. I did not.
Oh, did you not?
I have not yet started Legend of
Korra. You marathoned your way to catch up on Avatar, and then you didn't actually start Legend of Korra.
Yeah, I rewatched Avatar, and I was like, right, let me start this. And then some stuff happened, and then some other stuff happened. And then I realized, oh, I never watched the second season of Daredevil, and freaking Luke Cage is coming soon. So once I'm done with Daredevil, then I'll move over and start Korra.
Hey, Chewie.
Yeah.
You're bad at this game.
I really am.
Also, are we gonna do a school of movies for season two of Daredevil, since they're not going to?
No, they did.
They did for season two?
I'm pretty sure they did, cause
I'm pretty sure it was just Alex listening to music. I'm pretty sure that's what that podcast was. I don't think he ever actually talks about Daredevil season two.
Huh.
Cause he hated it.
All right then. I like the first four episodes a lot.
Oh Lord, don't tell me that. I'm on episode three.
I mean, the rest of it's fine too, but the first four episodes, I really enjoyed them.
Like, I have 10 minutes of episode three left because I misjudged how long it was and what time it was when I started it. I was like, oh crap, I have to go do Monday Night Magic now. Damn it.
Yeah, it gets weird when Galactus shows up.
What, spoilers?
Oh, I'm sorry. It gets weird when he who is heralded may arrive.
Oh my God.
But yeah, speaking of arrival and heralds and all that nonsense, I'm going to Dragon Con next week. So people who are going to be at Dragon Con, let me know. We'll hang out. It'll be awesome. I like meeting people at Dragon Con. It is an entirely social event for me. So if you're going, let me know on Twitter and we'll totally hang out and I'll show you where the secret food court is and it'll be great.
Yay.
And that's about it for me. So go get them, Clues.
Okay, so hey, if you want to hear more from me, I do have another podcast. It is called Random Discard. It can be found right here on the MTGcast Network. Last week, or was it the week before? No, week before is when that one came out. Yep. We talked about a totally different card game that was not this one.
And video game. And TV
and
show.
And video game and TV show. And
movies.
Various and sundry things.
I have like 5 minutes left on that episode. I'm really bummed.
Oh, well, you haven't heard the best part yet. Okay, well, I'll let you get to that. If you want to reach me directly, your best bet is on the Twitters. I am at LockLuzé, spelled just like it is in the show notes. And hey, if you're going to be at PAX Prime, I'll be at PAX Prime. Maybe I'll see you there.
When is PAX Prime?
That's 2 weeks from now.
Oh, yeah, it's a week after Dragon Con, instead of being the same week.
Yeah, it's...
Aren't they usually the same week?
They
have been in the past.
They were.
Okay.
It has happened.
Like, Labor Day weekend is popular.
Gotcha. So, is that it for you?
Oh, yeah, that's it for me.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Well, then, you can follow me on Twitter at The Manipool. You can send me an email to Chewie, that's Chewie, at mtgcast.com. You can check out my YouTubing channel at The YouTubes, youtube.com/c/TheManipool, where I am playing the new solo adventure of Hearthstone called One Night in Karazhan. And it's a lot of fun. Also, since the last time we recorded this show, will you stop dropping links? The boop is distracting. I put up a behind the scenes at a Gathering of Dorks episode. The last time that myself and the Manipool Dorks all got together to play Magic, I brought a camera along and just recorded a few snippets here and there of what we do and how we do it and all of that. And it ended up being a lot of fun. And so I put it all together recently and put it on YouTube. It actually went up on Monday, which means it went public on Tuesday. And it was pretty awesome. And it's getting a lot of good feedback. So if you check that out, do leave me a comment there or tweet at me or something and let me know what you thought. Because, I mean, I enjoyed it. And it was a fair amount of work to put together. So, you know, let me know if I did it right. Clues, let me know if I did it right.
Sure. I'll get right on that as soon as you watch those things that you're supposed to.
See, that's different. Those are like hours and hours and hours of my life, where this is like 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I'm working on it.
All right. Hey, I believe you. Against all odds.
Tell you what. Oh, I love that song. Tell you what. My friend Molly is going to come over and we're going to do menial, brainless tasks, sort of like sorting magic cards, but even more brainless.
Ooh.
We're counting and rubber banding postcards. And I told her I'd help her out with that. So I will try to convince her to watch either The Last Dragon or one of those other things that you want me to watch. She can't watch Korra yet. She's not done with season 3 of Avatar.
Okay.
Last Dragon it is.
Or maybe I have Pacific Rim. I'll see if she wants to watch that.
Ooh, that's a good one. Watch that too.
Because I still haven't
seen them both
yet.
At the same time.
Yeah, let me do that. Yeah, that'll be pretty awesome.
That will not make any sense.
Anyway. So, yeah. I'm gonna go now. Because I've had a headache for now. It's been like 6 hours. So,
lasting more than 6 hours.
Well, I took drugs, but then the recording didn't want to work, and then it made me very angry. And that intensified the headache. And then Clues may or may not have peed himself, which made the headache even worse because I fell on the floor laughing. So if you want to hear that, then you should check out the Patreon, which is patreon.com/themanapool, where you can get all of my YouTube videos and Manapool episodes early, if you so choose. And if you also so choose, you can get access to the odds and ends, which is everything recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool. That's uncensored and unfiltered and a lot of nonsense.
Sometimes crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, like Clues goes on long, sweary rants about movies, or he may or may not have peed himself, or Bill and I talk about comic book movies. You know, it's all of that. I'm getting back on posting them, so they will be caught up again very shortly. So yay. But anyway. And if you want to help support magic podcasting in general, but not me specifically, then go to mtgcast.com, click on the support MTGcast link, and you can sign up there for a small monthly donation. Because while MTGcast is completely free to all of you listeners, and it's completely free to all of the podcasters, it's not actually completely free. It actually costs quite a bit of money, so every little bit there also helps. Is that everything now? I think I hit all the high notes.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. So, this has been episode 526 of Monday Night Magic. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.